to handle all of life's problems. Would all of you who believe that, I'm not asking you to do this, but what if I did, you don't have enough faith to handle all of life's problems, would you stay? You see, I believe probably almost every, I want to think, every person in the room accountable to God who's serious about their lives would stand and it would not be a problem. What if I said, everybody in this room whose prayer life is less than you believe it ought to be, not what more sharp things of the elders think, but you believe. What if I asked you to stand if you believe your prayer life is not all that it ought to be? Would you stand? You see, I believe every person accountable before God would stand and would not think much about that. What if I said, okay, now, all of you who are accountable before God that believe you need to know more than you know, would you stand? If you believe that you just don't know enough to handle all of life's circumstances and problems, would you stand? What if I said, all of you stand who would have to admit that every now and then you're not quite as sincere in doing what you do as you ought to be. Need to be a little more earnest and sincere in what I do. What if I said, everybody in this room stand who believes that you just look around the room and as you think about people that you know that are not in the room, who have done things, said things, felt things that you don't like, would you all stand? You just don't have enough love for the people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ at times. Would you stand? You see, we all feel those pressures, don't we? But what if I said, okay, now let's get real. Everybody in this room who's accountable before God, who believes you are not as gracious in giving as you could be, should be, would you stand? Now, all of a sudden, I've been preaching, haven't I? I've started meddling into your private affairs, and you don't want anything said or thought. You don't want anybody believing that you're coming up short or that you're not who you ought to be in terms of generosity. Isn't that interesting? Now look at this passage. This passage is talking about a contribution that needed to be made. Plans were being made to feed people that were starving because of the famine. The contribution was going to be taken up. It started over a year ago in this church that Paul is writing to. The buildup had really gotten great. They'd gotten excited, but over time, guess what? Problems entered in. Just read the book of 1 Corinthians and you just see all the problems that the church had already had. They had so many problems, they forgot about the grace of giving to these people who had need. Our elders, I've watched them work very hard. Of a lot of struggles. I'm telling you, it's my personal opinion that being a good elder, a faithful elder, is the hardest job in the world. I believe that. Because they have to be aware of their own soul, but guess what? They have to be aware of Roy Sharp's soul, and that's a hard job. That is a hard job looking after me. And the way I feel, and the things I say, and what I do. They've got a hard job. And when you add that list of problems that I have to the list of problems that you have, and you have, and you have, and you have, and they are shepherds over this flock, they've got a hard job. They make money as they should. And sometimes, Roy Sharp goes on vacation, doesn't think about the elders' plans. Besides that, vacation's expensive, man. I've got so many places to go, so many things to do, so many meals to eat. I go and I forget about the elders and their plans and my commitment that I have made to help them look at what we're doing. They've got a hard time getting more charge. So if you take a look at our bulletin today, our worship bulletin today, we're about $1,000 a week behind. Now what if I said, all of you who have forgotten what you have meant to give God, and you just took it and spent it on something else, would all of you stand? Boy, I wouldn't be looking for a job, would you? But you see, the reality is what the Lord is doing with us. Look at this passage. We urge Titus that as he has started, that he should complete among you this act of grace. What's this act of grace? Giving. But as you excel in everything else, I just mentioned these things to you that we don't mind talking about. As you excel in faith, we don't mind talking about that. What about your language? Is your language what it ought to be? Ooh, sometimes things come out of my mouth that just shouldn't. And I need to get better at that. I need to control my tongue. I need to watch my language. As you excel in speech, as you excel in knowledge, as you excel in sincerity, in earnestness, and in love for the church. Just like you want to excel and you think about it, you don't mind preaching and all of those kinds of things, about those things, think about giving and be ready to excel. Again, he mentions this act of grace. Do you need any grace in your life? Well, I do. If I got what I deserve all the time, just from my home, I'd be in a lot of trouble. If I got what I deserve from God, I would be out of here in this heaven. So we want to think about the great grace of giving. And I'll have to confess to you, I've known for several weeks now that today, April 22nd, I'm going to talk about this topic. I have meant to since Saturday night turn in the topic to the Week. And guess what? It was Wednesday when she's in the middle of putting everything together that I finally thank dummy, you haven't done what you're supposed to do to help Jennifer. So I sent her a message of apology, and I'm not feeling very good about that still, but here's what I'm not feeling good about this morning. This is not really what I wanted to entitle this lesson. I really meant to say faithfulness in giving. Because you see, that's our topic for the month. How faithful is Roy Sharp in giving? You see, this sermon is meaningless if you have shut me off and you're not willing to think about you. Or if you're saying, boy, he's a good old boy. He likes to tell on himself. And he likes to say, things aren't so good with me. And you're loving the fact that I am just like you. This sermon won't do you any good. You have to turn your eyes inward and look at your heart and see how you are doing with regard to faithfulness in giving. I have a note here that someone took the Bible and they looked at how many verses in the Bible relate to prayer. There's a bunch of them. 532 verses directly relate to prayer. ...1,539 verses relate to money and giving. God gives about three times as much space on the way we use money and the sacrifices we're willing to make than he does on prayer. Now, which is most important to you? To hear a sermon on prayer or to hear a sermon on giving? To know that we might not be doing what we need to do to help the elders fulfill the commitments that they've made, missionaries. You see, we've made commitments to missionaries. We've said, we're going to give you this much money this year. You see, I have something to do with whether we're able to do that or not. We've said to people in this room, you go on a mission trip, we will give you this much money. I have something to do with whether or not they are willing to do that or can do that or not. We say we are going to share this much money in benevolence with people. You and I have everything to do with whether we are a benevolent, graceful, giving, loving church. It's not somebody else's responsibility to restore Charlotte and yours. So if we think about this great grace of giving, someone says there are three levels of giving. One is you have to, does God command you? Well, yes, we believe God commands us. Is that why you do it? Well, I hope it is. I hope it is. I hope you would say, God said for me to do this, and that's why I'm doing it. But a second level is an obligation. You've got a law. Now, am I obligated to keep that law? Well, I hope you feel obligated to keep the law. But the third level and the highest level of giving is that third one, where you say, I want to give. I want to support mission work. I want to support benevolence. I want to support the things that the congregation is trying to do. I want to do that. You see, you may be a giver because of the law. You'll be pretty sad a lot of times because keeping the law, if you're giving just because there's a law, you feel like I used to feel when I was much younger going through a 15-mile-per-hour speed zone in a school zone. I'm sitting there thinking, what are they thinking? I can't believe I'm having to drive this slow. Or you may go through Somerville, Tennessee and have a 30-mile-per-hour zone from this side to the other. What is up with that? It's four lanes. You can go through there. There's no big deal. It's the law at home, sitting here grinding because I've got to drive 30. You see, that's how you feel this morning if you gave because it's the law. Or if you feel obligated to. It's hard work, isn't it? It took me years. I'm talking years. When I go through Somerville, Tennessee now, I set my foot. And I don't take my foot on the accelerator. I just let the cruise me through town, and I'm happy. I like that. I'm not grinding to get through, and all of a sudden, really, I'm through as quickly as I need to be and most of the time as I want to be. But it took me a long time to get there. I got to tell you, it took me a long time to get to that place in giving. Blind, learning to give. And being willing to give and getting to that level where you want to give. Here's a church full of grace. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. When we have something that needs to be done, we ought to be thinking about the grace that God has given to this church. God has freely given us. There are no people in this room. Let me say, almost no people, but I believe it's no people, who are really suffering because you're hungry and don't have any means of getting food. I don't believe that. God's grace has been so forward to this congregation, and we are so blessed, and it's unthinkable. We ought to be thinking this morning when that contribution plate is passed, or we have a chance to help somebody beyond the contribution plate being passed, we ought to be thinking, wow, look at what God has done for me. And as a whole, look what God has done for this group of people. Secondly, we ought to be sincerely begging, let me give. You gave the last time, let me give this time. You helped in an extra way last time. Let me do it. Honestly, sincerely beg to let you be the giver. That's what a church full of grace looks like. And so we have a budget. Those people had hungry people because of the famine that need to be fed. We have missionaries that need to be paid. We have people that need to be fed. We have so many things out there. The others have planned. We ought to be people who are saying, let me complete this act of grace and give the way I would be committed to giving to God. That's what a church full of grace looks like. Instead of hiding what we give, and I don't mean we need to advertise it, but instead of hiding, not wanting to talk about it at all, we ought to be excellent, but he wanted to be excellent so that when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can say, wow, you are a reasonably good giver. Instead of thinking like I have to think sometimes about how selfish I am and about how stingy I am as I go my way through living a great life physically. We ought to be excelling in the grace of giving. That's what a church full of grace looks like. And then, every one of us ought to be looking at the Lord. There might be somebody in the room saying, yeah, Lord, Lord Sharp's up there doing what the elders wanted him to do, parroting, giving, and catching up on the budget. But let me tell you this. This passage in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8, says, remember the grace of the Lord. He had everything. He had no temptation. He had no physical body to deal with aching and hurts and nails being driven through and hurting, spear being driven inside after he passed from this life. We don't recognize it. We cannot recognize the degree to which the Lord had things made, as we say, in heaven. As that contribution plate passed by, though he was rich, he gave up everything. So Philippians just have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? He counted you better than himself. And he became poor and gave up everything for you and for me. How can you read this passage and not recognize that giving is so intricately connected with grace? We love grace because we need it so much. We also love giving because it is a grace from God. There are four basic principles. You know them. I want to share them with you quickly. First, a faithful manager of God's money and resources does it cheerfully. If you just dreaded whatever you gave, or you reached your hand in your pocket and you put something in the plate and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that or not. This is so hard on me. Find the elders and say, I need my money back. Because as far as the spiritual blessing is concerned, it's not there. Did you give? Wait, yeah, will it be used for good? Yeah. But for you personally, don't give it back. Let the budget fall farther behind, because that's not as important as your heart. God loves it when the giver is wise in giving. That's a quote from 2 Corinthians 9:7 from the Message. Second, a faithful manager of God's resources gives generously. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty can overflow in a wealth of generosity hold their heart. We're not in affliction unless we've afflicted ourselves, putting more money into things that we have the ability to pay for. We might be there, and some of us might be severely tested this morning in that way. But these people just didn't have the money. They were severely tested by being poor. And they were hungry because of the famine. And here are some people who don't have anything really to give, we would think. And we would be saying, no, don't you give. You take care of yourself. These people were overjoyed. They had an abundance of joy. And they gave generously on their part. They probably didn't get as much as some people did. It's not a matter of the mail. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of generosity from the standpoint in which you exist. And then third, a faithful manager of God's resources gives sacrificially. They gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. wasn't because of law, it wasn't because of obligation, they had risen to that third level. It was of their own accord. So we need to give sacrificially. I remember young as a preacher. I really was young one time. And I remember trying to put together a message on giving. And I remember some preacher used David's example in 2 Samuel 24. I've never, ever gotten that out of my mind. Because you see, I have given in an unsacrificial way before, where it cost me nothing. I didn't even realize I was giving. It cost me so little. But David made a great mistake. He had violated God's will by doing the census, and God offered him three not good choices. He chose one, and then he was going to make a sacrifice. He was told where to go, and the guy who mowed the field says, listen, you take this land, you take this stuff, you sacrifice. Don't worry one thing about it. You see, I was thinking as a young guy, man, what a break. I've got to do a sacrifice, and this guy's giving me everything. Now I can go and sacrifice, and there's no problem whatsoever. I don't have to give anything except my time and tell God, I'm really sorry, and here's the animal that you asked me for. Well, I prayed about me a bunch of times. When he said, I will offer things to the Lord that cost you nothing. He wouldn't take the gift. The gift to the Lord as though it were his own. The sacrificial gift is so significant. And then finally, Paul says, a faithful manager of God's resources gives selflessly. This is the main problem with most of us when we have trouble giving. It's about me. It's about what I think I need. It's about what I think I want. It's not about me not being able to meet my sense of obligation. It's not about me not being able to meet my sense of what the law says. It's about me feeling good about trying to loosen stuff that I would really like to use for other people. After all, I've got to go out anyway. I do have to take a vacation. I do have to have a car every now and then. I do have to have all the things that we have to have. It's about me. So if my arm reaching in my wallet or my pocket is sort of a, it's just like it's so rusty, it's hardly able to bend it again. And then it's hard to drop it in the plate. It's about me. Not about what I have. Not about law. Not about obligation. It's about me. And Paul saying, not as we expect. We didn't expect these people to give anything because they didn't have much at all. They themselves were in poverty and in need. It's not like we thought it would be. But here come these people overflowing with joy, begging to be able to give. Paul made them say, listen, you people are poor yourselves. Don't give. But they were overflowing with joy, begging sincerely and earnestly to be able to participate. Reason they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Paul and Titus were God's messengers. So people gave themselves to God's messengers, and here's the money for you to take back to these people. Now, I want to end as I started. How hard it is for us to think about giving in the same way we think about faith. in the same way we think about speech, in the same way we think about knowledge, in the same way we think about loving each other. God is asking through Paul to excel in this act of grace also. I have to look at myself. I've been looking at myself now as I've thought about this sermon for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't like what I've said. I'd like to be better. The question is, can I find joy in being better? Can I rise to that level of being excited, begging the elders to let me help them in this way? Or am I going to hang on what I've got? This morning, this is way, way more than about giving. It's about you and me and our hearts. It's about where we are in our level of maturity toward Christ. It's about where we are achieving excellence in this great grace. But it starts with giving yourself. And some of you may need to do that this morning by acknowledging Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and acknowledging that before men and being buried with him in baptism, as the Bible instructs, raised to walk in that new life, giving thanks to God for everything that we have, including the spiritual blessings of the forgiveness of sins. It may be that you did that once, but the world and the devil and sin got a hold of you and just slowly but surely pulled you away from the Lord. Would you say, oh, this morning in obedience, if you need to return to the Lord, you need to come to the Lord in baptism. If you need to come to the Lord for prayers and help, would you do that by coming to the front as we stand as we sing this great song?
The sound that saves.